interrupting the current Neo-Urona monkeypox school shooter cricketism. To bring you behind the woodshed, this is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 476. They just keep piling on, stringing us out with all this stuff, and expect us to just, I guess, accept it or just deny it, right? We just start turning around and saying, well, that's a bunch of nonsense, it's not really going on, or too bad for that, or it's a setup, or it's a psyop, and we just don't do anything about it. And everything running behind that movie, all those movies, there's stuff running behind the scenes while you're sitting in the theater watching all that, and even denying it, even walking out to go get your box of popcorn for the next one. These people behind the scenes on the world stage are moving that stage along and going to the next scene. And so I just don't know. Again, I get to the broadcast and I don't know what more to say. This is they've got us really tied up and we're not responding. And if we didn't pick up that we didn't respond in the Rona, and then how the massive psychology in the countries went to support the deviousness of the United States and what's going on in Europe, to destroy Europe, essentially. Even to destroy maybe the EU. People don't really, I don't think, appreciate all this. Underlying the whole universal financial destruction of the globe to recontrol everything, you don't quite perceive what's going on when you have a direct trust contract, if you will, trust arrangement with the Fed of all people, remember? Corporations are people, too. I don't think you appreciate really the totality of control that's really around the corner on us. Last week, I almost got through all my tabs and left one dangling, and I want to start with that one and then continue, essentially, you know, moving along, hopefully to expose through the what's on people's mind, what they're coming up with, that there's people thinking about this stuff. It's gone beyond thinking now. We have to start working with and use some of this as inspiration to try and correlate our thoughts together with what might have to happen with what... It's seemingly to me more legitimate a problem developing into reality than what we might have thought of even 10 years ago looked bad. And so one of the things I left on the table, one tab, of all the ones I leave this week, this last week was one tab, couldn't quite get there, was a discussion that a writing that Derek Brose wrote from, I think he's The Last American Vagabond. At some point, it's kind of interesting, he's going to have to settle down to do this, but nonetheless, I took, if you will, inspiration from his writing here, and I wanted to pass this on. You can get the link, you can probably type it out already and get it, to look and see how to handle what we're dealing and start to be a counter to it without getting, what can I say, political, without getting legalistic. And yet, in this, I want to caution us in the inspiration of how we will maybe work to maybe enclave ourselves, will cause a secession for ourselves, each one of us, to break away, and essentially it's the ultimate no, it's the lack of consent. I also want to caution that that's not how this really works either. You're going to be able to enclave, but there's an unending attack, and we see some of that in the links this week. But I want to introduce to you his comment, his writing, Welcome to 2030. I want you to think forward, because this is the Agenda 2030. He's speaking to that, but he's coming up with a different approach. He's coming up with, let's anticipate this future and make our own instead of letting them drive us to the future they want. We're going to make our own. And with as divided as a people as we are, and as spread out as we are, and as vast as the nation is, even though it's not as big as Russia, I guess people are maybe starting to see that, that we have a lot of work to get together and work together. And I'm telling you, even when the chips become down, you start really finding who your friends are. There's a whole other lesson to learn there that we aren't facing yet. That he offers an insight that I thought was, I'll say inspirational, but I felt pretty good. There's people thinking about, we're going to go ahead and we're going to do this for ourselves. But what is that? It's to directly counter, and find the counters to exactly the future that we want, which is the one they want, the they. And this is not essentially, remember that Genghis Khan Schwab is really an agent. He's a change agent. He's not the behind power. He's not the power behind what's going on and causing the change. And that you're being brought into in trust, it was ridiculous. In trust is not even the power. And so we have a thing to consider. And I wanted to get to this. He says, instead of, you will not, like Genghis Khan Schwab says, you'll have no property and be happy. And some tabs are coming to explain a bit more how this is coming on to us. He says, and offers, and this is not the only one, but it's in writing, so I can send you here. I own land, live among like-minded people, and life has never been better. Welcome to 2030. That's his title. That's where it starts. He then goes into explaining the reference about the World Economic Forum and that the production publication of Forbes magazine. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better. He's flipped the terms on this, and he has taken responsibility, as I was saying last week, he's taken responsibility to determine and state, and this is another technique. You write, you have a goal, you just don't leave it absent in the air, in the ether, in your mind. You write it down. You put it somewhere. There's another technique. You put it right on the refrigerator if that's where you go a lot. You stick it up wherever you're going. You put it up where your eyes can see it. You put your goal everywhere, and you keep reminding. You do your own propaganda to yourself because that's how it works. And he says, well, I'm going to flip all that statement done in Forbes in 2016. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better. He says, no, I'm going to have property. I'm going to own land. I'm going to link up with like-minded people. And life has never been better. And so we have the ghost of my voice coming through this as well. We're local. We have to get together, mutual defense. And here's a, if you will, an inspirational statement. And he's writing down. And I want you to see it. I want you to think about this. This is something you're going to have to write down and make important, because if we don't do this as a people, wherever you are in the world, this thing that's been planned and this financial austerity, this control, this technocratic control, the technology and hardware of which is right at the point of being manipulated into everything that these technocrats needed, is right at their fingertips. And you've gotten it in your fingertips, and they're moving to take away even that and get us into a connection, as we hear about things like Neuralink. So he goes through and explains, if you haven't seen about this, as you know, United Nations State Sustainable Development Goals, they have these letters, SDGs, and we have these other new things, SEGs. They all end up being the similar thing. It ends up refocusing in on sustainability. This is the plan written down. Implementing it, they were, the Agenda 21 was to get us there through to 2030 to show you the parameters they were working on. So any of us that was reading that could see the plan and all the aspects of life that were going to be detailed years and years ago, decades ago. And this is a statement that says, okay, they got us down to the last few years now. We only got like, what, 6.5 years? We're already through a half a year now. What are we going to do to stop this? And he takes the opposite. He goes, I'm going to own land, I'm going to get with people, and we're going to be happy again. We're going to make that important to us. And to do that, I think, is what we have to do. He goes through and explains all this. He sets it up so you see the context of what he's talking about. And I guess I, you know, again, reading it, you can read it. People need to read it. You need to see what people are saying. And what he's calling for ultimately in this is that we have what they call, what he calls the people's reset. Now, the word peoples is too many. That's too big a group. Each one of you have to re-gauge and reset for this attack, and you're going to do it by countering everything that they want to take from you, and you're going to have to do it by maintaining property, the knowledge of properties I've been explaining to you, how to start to look to protect it, because without the property, you really don't have an appurtenant right. And if they don't have property, they don't have to give you due process. And so there's for myself, when I look at what's being done, it's a strategic and tactical plan against us. These people know what they're doing after looking. Someone's analyzed, let's say, the freest nation with the freest laws and all that, the most, you know, liberty, that kind of stuff, called the United States of America, and they figured out its weaknesses, and they've been exploiting them for a long time. This is an inspirational statement that says, we write down a plan, we make land, we make property and land important, we get together to defend ourselves, we learn what that's about, and we completely isolate if we have to. What is the enemy to the people that are bringing on the reset? And you hear that, and people, they haven't, I've not seen anybody talk about it. They keep identifying. We got another link about a woman who is identifying that. Very, very intelligent woman has seen it. She can see it, but I've already reported on this. It's really more known as the urban-rural divide. And the rural folks, the word rural is a derogatory statement because it's really the countryside. And the rural folks are the enemy. The rural folks are the producers from which the Citadel City urbanites have to derive their goods and their denial that they don't, about them doing it sustainably. They can't. And they're going to have to enslave the rest of the countryside. And this is the friction. They want to make a Democratic and Republican. These people international don't look at that. Are you within the city or are you out? Are you urban or are you rural? And if you're a rural folk, watch out. You better be able to come together. And so this is this article, I wanted to go a little bit deeper, but there's so much to have to cover in it that I think you should be able to see how it's all set up, what they're doing. He goes through and explains, but ultimately he's doing that in order for you to look at, like, check all the marks about what they're coming after, because you're going to have to come up with an alternative. And I say, write it down like he's writing it down. This is his manifesto, if I can say that without getting too conspiratorial. This is his written statement, focusing on 7 years from now, to do completely opposite and start looking at things written down so they don't become lost, on what it's going to start to take in order to counter what's coming on us. So, I felt really, when I read it, I felt, okay, good. I've heard lots of people talking about doing this, but he's the first one I thought I'd read that actually wrote that down. And going to commit to it. And that's what I think the point is. Write something down and start committing. You're going to have to make something more objective basis than what you're offered in your mind. They've destroyed all that. And the caution I want to have, once you get your land, while we talk about patents and all this other stuff, you have to understand a little bit more. It's not going to be just that you can do that. They're not going to leave you alone. I found that out myself when I went into the forest. I lived in the forest for 7 years, wanted to be left alone. Established my little international enclave, supposed to be protected by international law, and in some regard it was. They left me alone. They kind of bugged me a lot, the BLM. Wanted to know why I didn't claim a mining claim at that point. I said, I don't have to. I'm protected by international law here to do these three things. And that floored them. So again, have a different word in your mouth. They didn't know what to do with me. But we're going to have that knowledge to be able to hold off the incessant attacks until we can figure out as peoples how to stop the attacks, because we're not doing it yet and it's going to get worse. But if you have land, that becomes a servitude as well. That's a slavery of sorts. Like I was explaining to you, a miner is somewhat, he's been induced to go to work. He's agreed to go become, if you will, the slave of a producer, because the inducement was sufficient to buy him. So we're a miner. We're doing the most basic, valuable thing to a society, but they've had to indice us in order to go do that, otherwise we wouldn't do it. Impliedly, you're not going to make a slave out of somebody. That's the consent part. And so you pay them enough to go do it. Well, for me, it wasn't really that way. When I was growing up, I was small, young. I was in a mining family. So I kind of brought up into that. That's what we did. That's what I knew. And so it didn't come at me like I just said. It stated that you're induced and enticed to go do it. But if you look at the crux of the mining law, the Congress needed some people that would settle down, not run around and try to find all the hot spots and take all the gold that was easy, all the cinnabar, whatever, all the quicksilver, all the copper. They needed people to stick around and go ahead and dig deep. So they said, we need to entice people to settle down. That's what settlement is. Keep the peace by settlement. And so we're going to give them the land. We're going to give them the right to get their ingress and egress. We're going to allow them to possess it exclusive of the government. And so, and then we're going to do that for people that do agriculture. That kind of thing happened to disposals. And so you have land and it's supposed to be off limits to the government. Then we got this adjective law and it's been chewing away at this concept. And then we as ignorant people haven't figured out how to assert the substance of our property rights. We go through attorneys that don't sell the court, to the court that you have not an exclusive interest, but a tenancy. And sometimes you buy property in your closing documents when you use real estate agents. They have in their documents, they have that built into the conveyance documents that you sell, acquire the property in. So they kind of get you that way and people don't pay attention. So again, an ignorant people are having their rights diminished. And so you get land. So relative to Derek's comment, which I did, I felt a bit inspired. There's people that wanted, you know, this is going to rock solid. We're writing it down. This is our goal. This is what we're going to go. We're going this direction. We're going to go together. We're going to do it mutually, but non-dependent on everything else. We're going to go do it on our own terms, but we're going to go do it. Is the caution that there's this impression in the judiciary, the Bar Association occupiers, that essentially you don't have property. That's why a lot of people don't see it. It's taken them quite a while, in my view, through the mining law to watch how it is you best put that forward. And it's still difficult because we're in an occupation. The occupier doesn't want to let up. That this, you have to be careful when you have the land and look forward when you start to do this. And it takes a number of people to be able to cover this because it's just so much information to do it. But you might run up against this seemingly absurdity of a decision that comes up where your land is. That you're not going to, just because you have land doesn't mean you're away from it. And it is these people that have made laws before you got there. They're going to impose the future they want anyway. This story just comes out, and in a way it's ludicrous, but in another way it proves what I've told you. When you go, everyone wants to say go to Black's Law. I say forget Black's Law. Go to the statute and go find if a term is defined in the statute because that's what the courts will follow. On the other hand, when you see, well, and the example is if the statute says that a red is green and green is red, then you better argue from the standpoint that red is green and green is red. Otherwise, you will lose the point. This case, it shows the absurdity of legal, the absurdity of what can happen in terminology, and how the courts can treat things, and then I'll tell you, because of the subject matter, it shows they can encroach upon what you may own. California court rules that bees are a type of fish in order to protect them under the state's Endangered Species Act. Now, did I get your attention? Bees are now fish, as defined by the courts. And if this thing holds up, and likely it will because it's an environmental oppression, not that I'm against the bees, certainly I'm trying to get the bees. The bumblebees are important. The pollinators are important. I've been studying them for quite a few years. But this is now brings up the Endangered Species Act. That's a whole different beast. And you want to watch how they read this case and find out how a fish is a bee, how a bee is a fish. It's all in the treatment of the terminology. And this is another angle on how they keep us up on shifting sand. And look how much this court gives preference to the intention of the legislator to implement the Endangered Species Act. The judges in the footnotes here, you can read, bees are fish. How'd they get there? The judges ruled Tuesday that bumblebees could be classed as fish under California environmental laws. This unblocks protection for the state's four endangered bumblebee species. The ruling clarifies the state's confusing classification in its environmental protections. The ruling clarifies the state's confusing classification in its environmental protections. You know, they had a couple ways to go here, and they chose this one to make actually more confusion if you look at this. And yet, when you look at the rationale so-called, it makes sense. Well, in a way, you got to isolate this one word they fixed on within the definition under the word fish in order to do it. You got to parse this thing down so far that after a while, you look, well, the laws become meaningless if that's, you have to read like this. In other words, they make a decision that the Bar Association is always going to create an issue in order to continue control and make up this stuff. On the one hand, legalistically, I get it. I understand how a bee can be a fish. From the standpoint of people actually understanding what the law is about, no. We just know normally a bee is not a fish. And there could have been a different way this court handled that. And could have instructed the legislature that if it intended to have bumblebees instead of be a fish, that it's going to need to address this law, which they don't want to do, because every time you get into a law, like, I don't want people to say, let's have a constitutional convention, you start mucking it up. And I've looked around, I don't think we're intelligent enough to do that anymore. And they don't want to do it because they don't want to open the Pandora's box on this legislation, because they're attempting to focus in on environmental constraints. Now, we get to bumblebee, that will definitely turn upon you and your land. Same way that the Migrating Bird Act, Federal Bird Migration Act, imposes itself on property owners. The issue presented here is whether a bumblebee, a terrestrial invertebrate, falls within the definition of fish, the judges wrote in the ruling, and they concluded it does. And then you can read how that word invertebrate is inside the list, how they show that a mollusk inside the word for fish is not a fish as street people would think of a fish. Or when you think of a fish, you think of the picture in your mind. And they go through and say, well, if mollusk isn't there, and mollusk isn't a fish, and then invertebrate, it can't be necessarily constrained. And so we're going to give the legislature the widest ability to protect endangered species. What's that? Well, that's the Bar Association extending environmental considerations over you. This is like giving animals rights, like you would have rights, but dealing with you as a human, not a man with protections under the Constitution. You notice it doesn't say human in your constitutions for relief for harm done. And so, it's like the Bible doesn't have the word human, unless it's a humanist's Bible. It doesn't talk about human. And so here, it doesn't talk about, we can see if we go legalistically though, you can contort all kinds of things. We can just infer everything and understand what they're doing. They're expanding the intention of the legislature to want to protect little critters. And this is not about that at all. We should be considerate of it. It could mean our very existence relative to all the statements we're hearing about the lack of pollinators means we don't have food. And this is not about that. So let's understand the different things that are being spoken of. But as of today, at least in California, a bee can be considered a fish. If you want someone to more succinctly describe that in 12 minutes, then maybe I just did, just to explain some of the stuff I feel is more important for us to look at. Relative to what? Application, because you want to get land in the future in 2030, it won't go away. This oppression against you, this attack against you, won't go away. And part of that comes from the idea, I'm on a property here that has a pond. As soon as the pond got put, it wasn't for anything but to have the aesthetics of a pond. And as soon as that pond came in, the government wanted a piece of it. That had to be dissuaded in them. They wanted to take the water in the pond and start controlling it, which meant that it started controlling everything else around it. And that had to be dissuaded from them. So you have to know that's what I'm saying. The honeybee, the bumblebees, the pollinators, they will use them to come in and start controlling what you do on your land. This is one example I wanted to point out. I think it's important that you commit to become autonomous, then mutually with people, with having your own place, growing your own food and all that. But understand that doesn't necessarily solve the entirety of the problem as it has been fabricated and constructed strategically to come after everybody in the world so that you won't have property or you won't want to have property because of this nonsense, then you'll be happy still. And so going to the court rules, bees are fish. We go to a link, and I won't play it. Just, you can watch it. Listen to Steve Leto discuss it. And he's, I guess, an attorney that he does a lot of this stuff, interpretation. He explains this, how you can see how it's legally, how it can be done. And that the important thing is you better deal with it like that now, for as you smirk about this, but this is real stuff. This is really how they go about taking you out. I just want to point out, this is how we still, there's an encumbrance upon us with these kinds of things. These are external laws. These are external wishes foreign to us, put on us without any regard to relative to what they might be used to have someone come upon you. And so we now have bumblebees, and somebody sees you have a field of flowers and you want to do some things. You want to adjust your garden. You want to adjust what you're doing. And someone across the street or going down the road sees, wait a minute, you're doing it. You have a rototiller. You have a license to do that. Did you do a study to see you're not going to harm the bees, these pollinators, these fish? Right? Well, how ridiculous, but there it is. So again, I don't know how to say, I'm inspired by watching people come to terms with their responsibility and saying, I'm going to commit to making it better. I'm going to commit to a future they don't want us to have. I'm going to commit to my past and move that into the future, is the point of what you're saying. Horrors to the new the political climate change people. Horrors. And that's what you're going to have to do, but just going to take a little bit more. So I'm going to, Steve Leto does a decent job in 12 minutes to explain this seemingly nonsensical thing, legalistic thing. But it's one thing I noticed that is being done. In fact, I mentioned Mary Woods in Oregon, a professor wrote a book that Judge Aikens, I was on a broadcast being played right before this broadcast, and I was explaining how they're utilizing these kinds of things to subvert your property rights. It's what we sued in 2013 as well. Again, I've seen it, I've experienced it. We did our lawsuit, we did the injunction, they all defaulted. In fact, Judge Aiken was involved with trying to subvert what we were doing. So these people are known to me, how this angle works, what they start doing, and legalistically, yeah, you can do what they did, but it doesn't make for good and unconfusing law, which is what they want to continue to do. And then they do it, I know they do it, in order to create this, the Endangered Species Act, the California one. See, there's a federal one, too. That's a hatchet, a machete they're using to hack your property rights with. So, California, bee is a fish. No joke. Moving on, no joke. Google's AI is smart enough to understand your humor. And this one didn't catch my attention. I put it aside, and then I started to think about it. Google's AI is smart enough to understand your humor. First of all, they're doing the analysis. Secondly, you know that humor is a huge, is humor is a very subtle thing for people. This, I wonder, I guess I've seen animals laugh and smile and things and make noises like we would anthropomorphically impose upon an animal. There's a joke going on. But this, Google's AI, when it struck me what they were doing to analyze humor, and then understanding AI is going to be it's pattern recognition, first of all, so you can see what AI is about. I keep telling you, it's only pattern recognition. And the more data and patterns you can throw before an algorithm that will synthesize it through, they will come up with an answer. But this is being formulated to be the expert in the future. That it seemed to me that they're going to listen to this broadcast and they're going to determine likely there's no humor in it at all. Notwithstanding, I'm not the jokester anyway, but I try to do my driest bestest as we move along just to keep it a little bit interesting, that maybe Google wouldn't find me interesting at all, and that was the point. If the Google AI expert that you won't know is running doesn't find you funny, if they can analyze humor, the most subtle conversations and communications I think people do, whether you get the joke or not, then they're developing a very insinuating type of authority once it happens that is going to be seriously, once it becomes the expert, you're not going to be able to defeat it. And they do this again automatically. So you think, oh, we're going to have this. There's no due process. When you don't have property, they don't have to give you the due process. They just decide. And so this rose way up in importance. And I don't even know if I'm doing it justice, how it struck me, how important this is, that Google's analyzing humor in order to be able to identify it. And then tied in with it being an expert, wow, that's going to be what a digital crat, whatever, a technocrat, deciding whether or not your stuff's funny. Whether or not what you said was a joke or was it racist. As it opens up here, why it matters. The ability to understand nuances of human language will lead to better and more natural interactions with machines. Again, the fraud. They want to take an animation and they want to make it real to you, but what they're actually doing is they become that expert that you rely on, or that a bureaucrat relies on, a technocrat relies on. So this is this really strikes me really deeply, but I don't even know if I can describe it. Maybe you understand this, how deep this is really hitting when the Google, the occupier of the web, is looking at everything we do and say and identifying now how to decide and how we'll be judged in the future, but this is all goes to social credit. See, it's all going to happen automatically. I don't know if people appreciate that. All your stuff on social media, everything that you got connected, if you're connected to the internet, everything you do is going to be tracked down. They're going to have the AI that can do the nuances of language and the subtlety of humor, and right, Rob Works, as subjective as it is, has other AIs working like crazy to find other aspects of you, and then they synthesize all that together in your social value to the future they want. And so, again, and then the thing about the land, you don't necessarily have to be connected, and you're going to have to find ways to stay out of we're going to get to maybe a right to work situation. You don't have a right to repair in California either. Or the law hasn't been brought. So you're going to have to find that when you go out in your land, not only how to stop those that would continue to come in by collateral attacks, like through the Endangered Species Act and others. There's all environment. These are all environmental. Remember, the EPA is one of the pillars of the UN Agenda Sustainable Development. That's one of the pillars already in your country, already in the government, the EPA. This is the California version. You're going to have to be able to be you're going to have to be cognizant of these collateral vulnerabilities, essentially, on your land, on your property, on your tangible things. But it's no joke now that they're in digital form. See, Google does not exist for you if you're not connected. And I want you to understand that. At some point, you're going to have to make a chasm buffer between you, the real world you live in, the real one, that you breathe the air, like the Matrix is not a movie, and that digital one, and starve them. Starve them. Starve that system out. It's going to be one of your greatest helps. And they're going to be analyzing stuff here. Google's working on it. Anyway, I'm saying a whole lot longer than I should. This is a pretty deep problem, but they're working on that. And when they solve it, it just expanded their power, in that they become more ability to show those that they've already bribing with their, going into the politics of this, bribing the lawmaker, why California didn't get a repair bill and New York did, right to repair bill. The lobbying that goes on by the corporate sector is the problem I see here to get them as the experts, that third party public-private partnership to solve all the problems of the world, as they'll promote it. And these people behind Google, we see, are, well, corporate, first of all. Secondly, these people are going to be corporate because they want to keep their jobs. And thirdly, they're tied into this SDGs and ESGs, and this, well, except Tesla, apparently. And so you see how they'll filter out their own. You see they're not interested in what we're interested in as people, just be left alone and just go do our things as we will. So Google's looking at designing your humor. The nuance here is the problem. If they get the expertise on that, they can then dictate other things as we move through. But however, one other way to battle this thing and to get a handle on the future they wanted to counter it, in this case moving into wokeness, Ricky Gervais, comedian, slayed the woke dragon in taboo-busting special. So it's no joke what Google's doing, but Ricky Gervais has a couple jokes now. And I had to appreciate this part. I won't play him. I've got a little bit of a problem on my to get this audio quite right, and I don't want to mess with it while I've got it on the broadcast. So I don't play many videos, if any, now anymore. But anyway, you may want to listen to it. And it ticks these poets of our time. I don't listen to them too much, but this one struck me as funny. It struck me as more the point of how you address this future they want. And you have to find a way to address it. The article comes from, the video comes from a newscast of sorts identifying this is how you deal with the so-called woke dragon. And Ricky Gervais hits the gender problem pretty funny. In fact, you identify in the same sentence the condition and then the problem with that condition. And you show in one presentation, real short, you present them together to show how they're not consistent and not logical, not rational. That wasn't very funny. He does a much better job. That's why I'm going to leave it to him. I'll leave you a link. And then they also show Dave Chappelle also exposing, hitting the, you have to settle down and look at the point, look at what they're doing, and then extract the truth. And you do it in a sentence, and you do it more like allowing a question. Very, very important technique. We're going to have to learn. I wish I knew how to do this better. Maybe it means I'm too much into the problems, that I can't divorce myself from the problem to be able to look at it objectively and find it funny. But the guy is a comedian. That's his job. I think some of these people are poets of our time. We see lots of comedians that can be. They have the insight of our societies and the failures of it. But anyway, this is the kind of thing. It correlated, even though it doesn't look like it. I just want to correlate what Ricky Gervais does is very similar to what Derek Broke does when he writes down, I'm going to identify what we need to do. I'm going to write down for me. I'm going to persist on that writing. I'm going to attempt to move together with other people. I'm going to do my best to accomplish that, not just merely attempt it. There's a similar action, directly attacking the future they want, but making sure that you keep your reality, you keep your mentality, your intellect, and you keep it direct, straight. You keep it truthful. So, and humor really is a good way to go. I wish I could do that better for y'all, but I don't. And so, I'll let Ricky do that this week for us. And then, why? Because the real reason the government wants to give the poor affordable internet. Again, why you attack woke is because it's attacked to corporate, it's attacked to the internet of things, the internet battlefield of things, remember. I say this stuff and you have to just keep, you might as well just hook a trailer onto your caboose that says military on just about everything I say here, because it's really sits there to be the silent partner no matter where we go, who's involved and how they show up at particular times. The military occupation against us, it all really devolved and was exposed to us at 9/11. I don't know what else more to explain about that, whether people saw that or not. That's what the internal destruction of the United States of America, the cancer developed a power. And we have yet to be able to stop it. And I showed you COVID coming, I told you, and then I showed you how it was an opportunity, but we failed that as well. And I said it gets tougher and tougher for us to extract, partly because our mindset. We get less and less people we can work with. The pressures are too much. The ignorance of us is what we're up against. As you hear me talk about people, we just fall short. That we need to start engaging so we don't fall short. That we need to have a humor about this that will help us from going to, what do you say, force, potentially violence, or violence that we thought was our right to act as I bring up these ideas, you have like castle doctrine. What you do as long as you don't go outside the parameters, right? There's always these constraints we have to be cognizant of. So anyway, Ricky Gervais does a good job here hitting us with the on point of what the problem is with these insane people. I really believe a lot of, everybody I listen, I watch and I'm looking in these people that are so-called woke. I think we're just watching ourselves as abused people. We're abused people that other people exploited. We can really identify who those are in the background, but it's being used again as the cover, the stalking horse, to bring this other agenda on that I think needs to be addressed. That the real reason for the government wants to give poor affordable internet is to extend the digital connection, the neural link, the physical link to everyone. This is not a new story. It's coming up as if it's new. It's someone doing an analysis like it's new. And if you've never heard about it, you get to read what someone's coming on to. And that's why I'm bringing it up. The real reason the government wants to bring an affordable internet is the same reason they're working hard in India to get all the poor on phones. Because without that intermediate hardware, there is no control. I'm back to saying what I just said earlier. The more you can make that divide between you and that digital system, the less they have their ability to get on you, to be able to connect you up. That's why they're going to hand you stuff. Only this was interesting, too. I told you, don't have much. The government is investing. The Biden administration is investing $65 billion, with a B, bravo, billion dollars in public money for more accessible and affordable internet to close the digital divide. Well, they have an urban-rural divide, don't you know? This is them trying to link up the country folk. The poor folk or the country folk, right? You got to put it all in the same context. The city citadel is the center of this whole thing. They collect up a lot. They want everyone going to the city to make them all slaves. They don't realize it. But the people outside in the rural country are the enemies. It's what they target most of the stuff. The government of the United States is telling you they've already committed to your demise. To impose a foreign ideology. That to the tune here, they're going to put money where their mouth, so-called, is. $65 billion to close it. What I found interesting is that it's an incentive program to allow a company, the broadband development of high-speed broadband development of unserved or underserved areas, there's you rural folk. It was also to provide $14 billion for a $30 per month affordable connectivity program to help ensure low-income communities can afford broadband access. I find out this little low-income communities, they were supposed to make unity. So you're hearing divide right here. They already know it's not connected up. But they want to bring you in technocratically, and they're going to afford a $30 a month affordable connectivity program. I had to kind of chuckle. I couldn't afford that, which is great, because the less I can afford their gifts, I'm not enticed to even try. And this is the bribe. Point out, the federal government is willing to put money, taken from taxpayers apparently, to have the rest of the taxpayers pay to enslave the poor people. Don't create incentives to get them to go out and do business, because we all know small business is really the backbone of a nation, and it really brings people up much better and much more solidly when they can learn from their mistakes and prevail anyway. When we can work together to cause us to do better. No, we're going to do welfare. We're going to do subsidy to companies, third parties, to enslave the rest of the masses because they're poor, bringing them into even more, being more poor, now austere. And so we see the government is already committed to enslaving its people. Internet for all. They want to hook up the rural because that's free. That's not the focus of what they're promoting, but the government's already promoting. And cynically, I suppose, the statement here, what benevolent governance? Understand, SEG, the G is governance, not government. Even as badly as I've seen people define it, of control, mind control. No, it's, again, don't use your definitions, go to where it's supposed to work, go in that jurisdiction and handle it from that purview, that view, and it is about governance, not government. That's what we sued in 2013. Don't put your impositions of definitions on what's actually going on. you can buy into that, or you can say, no, I'm going to be non-dependent. I'm going to go ahead and do my thing. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to make it important. I'm going to execute upon that. I'm going to get others to do the same thing. Maybe listen to the guy behind the woodshed to put a couple things in your bag of law. Maybe put a couple things in your anticipation you hadn't thought about before. Start looking for the vector vulnerabilities, the attack vectors that are going to happen when you start to do that, because they don't want you free. It's all about governance, not government. When you're in governance, you don't have any property and you're happy. They don't have to give you any due process. Why? Because you're connected. And they're, you are the beneficiary that they are authority and the trustee for. You're hearing it right in the words of going to the Fed coin stuff. Should I just read this stuff and just gonna get bored? These tabs and these informations are here for us to learn. I'm trying to tie them together to show you that it's all there. Some people having the inspiration are on point. Take note of it. Start to build it into your own thing. We are into some real people, pros. These people are pros. These people are concentrated evil. And the reason to give a benefit is to enslave people. I wish it was not like that. I don't know what more to say, but it's not like that. The real reason is this. You see. Now, the woman that I've, Allison McDowell, another link came to me. Thank you for the email, emailer for this. Reality privilege, a new term. All these terms, these are divisive terms. As soon as you make these terms up, you can cut someone out of the herd and make them a victim of their own, at their expense. Exalt yourself. The real reason behind the government affordable, it becomes the government's buy-in to impose a foreign agenda, and they're telling you by these programs, their subsidy of these programs, what they need to happen. When they subsidize a farmer not to grow food, it's what they need to happen. For what? Starve you out. Make it difficult. Raise the prices. Whatever the parameter is. Reality privilege is a term now. Identity politics and digital disclosures. It's discussed in a 6-minute video from Allison McDowell. And goes through, again, the psychology behind it, the intention behind it, how they get there. You need to listen to, there was a CEO, I think, of Google. Excuse me for forgetting this. And I can't play the audio. It'd be a blown out. It's just too much. But you listen to who the players are making the decisions behind the scene to do exactly what I've been telling you all these years is going on. And she's another researcher finding this stuff out. And more things I see from her, the better. I think you should follow what she's doing and listen. Again, the nuts and bolts underneath isn't telling us what to do, but that gives us the validity and confirmation it's there and happening, and this is earnest. Now, again, and it's not to dismiss, it's to understand, when you're connected up to companies like Google or through their hardware or through their software, the browsers and this and that, and you allow them a connection to you, or give yourself a place where you have to answer the question and be put in the position of the extortion, that was a notice to you to not engage, because that's the only way they can impose it. Google does not exist in a forest. With trees and grass and mountain lions and all that and water. There's just no Google there. It requires a man or a woman or a little one taking the candy in the form of a phone from the devil out there that has a connection to that little seemingly innocent hardware device, the phone, in order to have that happen, to begin to make that connection. So I'm not against the technology as far as its utility and use. It's who is using that technology. The phone is fantastic, almost alien sounding and looking stuff. To my mind, for where I come from in electronics and technology, they're so far beyond, it's mind-blowing. But that's how they're doing it, and that's how you see they continue to do it. There's no change on this. But reality privilege, it's where they're claiming some people who had all the high lifers went to the best colleges and got to hobnob with academics, they had a reality privilege better than the rest. And because Google exists and some of these other companies exist, they're going to bring all the poor, which is everybody that didn't go to Harvard, Oxford, or academics, didn't have the money, whatever, all this silver spoon stuff, the elites, weren't the Rothschilds, which is always sitting back there too, remember. All the stuff I can't go on and on about because it should be in your mindset. I should be able to talk about this straight up without keep covering it for people. But they are having a privilege that you didn't, and the government exists now to substantiate and subsidize those companies that bring the internet and all those tools in order to bring you up into that virtual reality and give you that experience without the experience. Meta. They're doing you a favor. If you don't understand the psychopathy behind that, you need to see this video as she's explaining it. This is really how these people justify what they're doing for you while they enslave you, because they have figured they know the world better than you, because they put academia, which I've told you is the lowest of the low. They put higher education is not actually. It is what they claim and they promote as being better than the rest. It's another political term. It's like a bug. The bee is a fish. It's not really higher, it's just more in tune and in line with the agenda. That's the highest form because they exalt themselves, that they know better than you. But reality privilege is being used against people by trying to bring them into that privilege that privileged people enjoy, that you poor people, don't. Now, I want to bring back to the poor accounting here and the subsidizing of the internet to poor people. What did I just say? You think you're not poor. This reality privilege concept to extend the benefit to the poor is everybody that didn't hobnob with the academic, didn't go to Oxford, didn't become the decision maker, didn't become the financiers. That's all y'all. So listen very carefully. I bring these things forward. There's things that strike me. I get to the broadcast. There's so much overwhelming information. I don't get to half of it came in my mind when it was important. I haven't found a good way to make the notes, the comprehensive notes yet, been trying, that don't get lost eventually by the time I get to the broadcast. But this reality privilege is coming as a benefit to you. And it's just the same corporations that are enslaving us, that the government pays to have them do to us, that we accept. And that's not a good joke. That's a joke on us, but not one that we want to hear. And then we have the explanation on this reality privilege in doing benefit to us, why you see what's going on and how that will change your identity in the fourth industrial revolution by this gentleman that sounds a lot like Colonel Klink, Karsten Stoker, a lot like Genghis Khan Schwab, explaining how your identity will change in the fourth industrial revolution. You really need to listen very carefully to what this gentleman is saying. You need to understand how your identity becomes the identity of any other thing they can identify, whether it's animate or inanimate. How you can find that these bumblebees will eventually, these fish, will be identified and given an ID. And that everything is traceable, trackable, and put on a ledger, your blockchain, and is accounted for. This fourth industrial revolution doesn't have to do with industry at all, like we understood it out of the past. It has to do with robots, AI, and technocracy working to identify as a product, as an item of taxation and or tracking everything. You would talk about human capital. That's your identity. That's how it changes. He doesn't tell you this. He talks about it in glowing terms, how it makes everything more efficiently, how you can look forward in the future, how you can trust. He forgets that I can't trust Google, and they're going to be running this thing. We're going to forget that, too, as a people. I can just tell you that. We forget. We trust Microsoft. We trust even Linux. We trust ProtonMail. I mean, I have a little thing with them. I've been having a thing. I don't know where else to go, though. Any suggestions is requested here. They have this thing wired pretty well. And there's no way to avoid this problem if you're connected to the system. How your identity will change. You become an inanimate trackable item. They become an asset for someone's management. Everything you do, it'd be the products or the waste that you create, gets itemized. That's what this so-called industrial revolution is. People become a product more than you think Google makes you. They open it up with glowing terms that it's going to require privacy and efficient anonymous transaction systems, when in fact they can't and don't intend to provide an anonymous transaction system, which means it's not private. That's what they want you to believe. It's efficient. That's economy. That's doing something with the least cost and still getting it done. That doesn't mean it's good for you. So you got to let this guy is kind of scary. You need to listen to how, in glowing terms, they explain how they're going to enslave everybody, and they talk about it in terms of trust and efficiency. You can trust now. Well, I can't trust any of them. If I forget that, I can't trust that my power is going to be running, even though it seems to run 99% of the time. It's always, you know, the world and life. It's that 1% that you didn't need, that need to happen at the time it wasn't supposed to happen, that really messes things up. That will be your digital future. How your identity will change. Wow. Did you know they could do that to you? Yeah, you're going to become a product. You need to listen very carefully to the words. You need to listen to the inspiration they use to think they're coming to help us all. It's a bit scary because these people have the influence at this point, and we're not really stepping up to do that. Now, when you see that they're talking about the Industrial Revolution and your identity change, this is nothing more than account numberings as a digital blockchain type thing. They claim it's secure or private. That's just a, what is that, encryption. It's nothing private. They, again, you can't, it's not going to be private when you have to deal with your trustee and they're in charge of the account, correct? So this is all a lie to start with. If you don't understand how this actually works, you're not implementing this. They are. And the future they want. Up comes the news, which part of me just raves at the technology. I love the technology. I love the hardware, the engine. I used to work in the R&D. What it takes inside developing new things has just always been an inspiration. Watching people do that, being a part of it, has been kind of a neat thing. So when I see this, part of me is like raving how cool it is. We've taken what I remember, what my observations were on certain technologies, where I thought it was going to go, and then finally starting to see the preference of that technology coming on and doing something. And then now attaching what the people who control that are doing with it becomes a terror, a horror. That along with this identity, they need a lot of computing power, and a lot of computing power that's going fast. And that's why they need the higher frequencies in the so-called 5G, which will eventually get to the frequencies they need, not quite yet, not 4G plus. It'll be actually up in the, 39, 40, 50 megahertz, that type. They need that speed. Why? Because the computers are just like new news. The U.S. has snatched back the title for the world's fastest supercomputer. This is a pretty big deal because they use ARM technology, which has been a new thing I've been dealing with, researching for a long many months, but just it doesn't rise to the top. I don't know if many people are interested in the history of ARM. It came on in the beginning when I started to learn about computers and went into R&D, and I looked at the technology and what they could do with it, and I said, this is really cool. Well, they've really come along. In fact, to Apple's credit, Apple took the bull by the horns on ARM and may have very well made the... Well, they may have been surpassed here by AMD. They have really did the quantum leap in a more physical way, a quantum leap in ARM risk technology, RISC technology. AMD has just doubled the speed at which a computer operates. America's new frontier supercomputer has been crowned the world's most powerful system based on the top 500 performance leaderboard. According to the latest edition of the list, the ranked supercomputers by their HPL benchmark scores, Frontier achieves more than double the performance of the previous record holder, Fugaku, with a score of 1.10202 exaflops. I wonder why that's not capitalized, but exaflops. Frontier also became the first machine to officially surpass the exascale barrier. Now that word got me Exascale Barrier, because when I was working in R&D, we had a barrier, but it was like so slow. It's embarrassing to think where our technology was. It was all about material science. We just didn't have the materials for our technology to go any faster, and it was way less than a gigahertz. So this is when I say I'm fascinated by all this stuff and where we've gone, there was real limitations. We couldn't do things so fast at the time I was into doing this and designing chips and all that and what to do, what they did. And so watching the speeds is just mind-boggling. But, okay, so what's a flop? They base it on a flop. A flop is a floating point operations per second, F-L-O-P, or flops, S, flops. Floating point operations per second. When we do digits in math, the decimal point number after the number after the decimal point, that's the floating point. It's a little harder, a lot more to do to keep track of that. So they base it on that technology, on how a microprocessor handles these at speed. Now, these speeds, I'm not going to go too deep on all that, but the speeds and the benchmarks can be, everyone's got their opinion on whether they're valid or not. The point is, we have some computers now that are going way, way fast. Why do I bring all this up? It's interesting, during that time, we're looking at also reality privilege moving into people that benefit, want to give you IDs so they make your life better, but it's actually enslavement. They need this speed in these computers to do so. And the technology from this is actually from the 80s. It's being refined today, though. Finally took all this time. But they need this speed. What's interesting also that got to me about this is, well, I started to think, well, how much power do these? Well, it's in the article. You read the article, or the link to the article, I think it was. They started out with a theory that it would take, these speeds would take 20 megawatts of power. They then refined the theory to say to go to a certain speed would take 40 megawatts. So I'm not sure if they actually gave this the amount of power that this computer is a monster. It's like what it used to be when I was into it, right after the technology I got out of, it changed right after I got into it. Used to have wire wrapping and all these computers, the tube computers. It was into digital, but it was wire wrapping. We changed, right? And after I got in, it was changing. Everything started to get really miniaturized. These computers were large, the building size. Well, this computer is a building size, but it goes at this speed. How much power do they use? They are saying that it's matching the 40 megawatt range for the speed it's doing twice as fast. That's a phenomenal thing, but think about the power. Do you think this is green technology? 40 megawatts of electrical power? Do you think that's green if the technocrats are standing on climate change? I'm pausing just a little bit for us to show how stupid this ends up being. Stop the spaghetti western view. We need to understand what's going on. This technology is just fantastic. But who's running it? Now, they say it's like governments start paying for this stuff. They're willing to subsidize this thing. To do what? Well, to move their technology forward, what they need, the technocrat. They're selling us under the river. The EPA wants to see it. The EPA is going to support 40 megawatts? Yeah, if it means you're slavery underneath the new normal. Underneath what they're talking about bringing you into austerity, which is economy. They get you, the human capital, to work more efficiently through their system. Pausing again. Do you understand how that starts to connect up for this and where they have us and what people are agreeing to with their little phones and whatever all else that's going on? So we have a massive amount of flops going on. Flip-flopping here along, and it's data processing. The AIs need this speed. We've just quantum leaped, if you will, doubled that architecture, and it sounds as if maybe China might already have computers that are faster, but they've strategically stopped advertising what that speed is as we work. You watch another Biden faux pas. What was out in the open and so-called transparent, what we could see, China decided militarily, we're going to shut down what we're going to explain our computing capacity is because of Ukraine. You want to watch the cause and effect of what's really going on underneath the scenes. They're building computers right now that they're going to need in order to keep track of all this data and all these accounts at warp speed or faster. Speed of light here, well, not quite, but I hope you get the point on that. But and then we see the next story here, mysterious, I'll get the explanation to you. The enunciation right. Mysterious firm seeks to buy majority stake in ARM China. The ARM is ARMS. It's not capitalized. It should be ARM. This is a technology that was started back in England, and now it's been licensed. And so this is the other interesting thing about what used to start up. Little startups turn into these big companies. Again, part of my vision, my view, my experience watching this stuff, just being just outside the reach of it, but never getting part of it. Mysterious firm now buys ARM. Well, ARM's joint venture in China just took another intriguing turn. Mysterious firm named LotCap Group claims it has signed a letter of intent to buy 51% share in ARM China for existing investors in the country. Though this is the ARM technology license for these computers that are now that AMD has just doubled the speed where they need capacity, computing capacity, to keep track of all these things and help the poor. That's all of you that didn't go to Harvard and rub hobnob with the academics and become high-level policymakers. That's all of you. You get to become part of this. And China has a company that moved in to take a controlling stake in the very computers the future is needing, that they are needing, and the speeds are now coming to the point. Virtual reality, all your handling for your social credit, all that simple stuff, but keeping track of all the people in the world, they're now getting the speed up to where it's all coming together for them. And what's coming together for them in all of this analysis still breaks down to the weak link. Tough to forge digital driver's license is, as it turns out, easy to forge. And so this is the hang up, the hitch and the giddy up I keep talking about, all this blockchain stuff, all the everything that we have. Not only does the hardware, I don't care how fast it works, it's got flaws, it's got there's just things that can only be done and can't be found until they're found that are wrong. There's compromises that are made, there's people that compromise those compromises, there's the software. All of it's hackable. This is your future. It's a hackable future. I don't care how protected they say it is, it's secure. Tough to forge digital driver's license is easy to forge. The litany of security flaws allows forgeries that are easy, quick, and cheap. Again, economy makes it, all this digital stuff can go quick. In late 2019, the government of New South Wales in Australia rolled out a digital driver's license. The new license allowed people to use their iPhone and Android device to show proof of identity and age during roadside police checks or at bars, stores, hotels, and other venues. Service NSW, as the government body is usually referred to, promised it would provide additional levels of security and protection against identity fraud compared to plastic driver's license the citizens had used for decades. Long story short, it's hackable. But I want to go back and say, did you listen to all the places this digital identity, no matter how flawed it is then able to be checked because it's on you and required to be on you? Your life is not free to move around the country. That's not free from an interrogation for anything by someone with a uniform or a badge or thinks they have a color of authority to impose. This is where we're going. These need to supercomputers in order to keep track of this, but the weak links in this is enough for me, and I would hope you'd join me, to say none of this is good enough. None of it. I can't trust you because there's no system. There's a system between me and the trustee, even if I was thinking about it. Now, let me turn you over to, I'm not adverse to it, because when I say I'm a mineral estate grantee, I'm a beneficiary to a trust established by an act of Congress in disposing the mineral by certain terms, and the government itself is the trustee holding the legal title while I have and maintain the beneficial title. And they hold that source of title in trust for me. So I'm already in, I understand a bit about this and how to understand it. I'm already in a government trust situation, the beneficiary and trustee being the government. And so I have an insight on how this is supposed to work. The point about what we do is it's more paperwork. It's like, what you file? Did you comply? Period. No digital, no. They can hold the digital file somewhere. In fact, you can find our filings on the internet. That's digital. It doesn't have anything to do with our status or how we hold, that we hold, what we do. Nothing is regulable that way. It's just what's the record of what's gone on. They don't know where we are other than the claim. The claim has a location. That's where they know. We have laws to follow in order to stay within that grant, which we do. They're common sense type stuff. you produce. That's the inducement, right? I talked about earlier about it. It's none of this connecting third-party hardware-software problem that was touted to be, again, the government promise it's never fulfilled. Is the future they want, is the future they're going to go, and you need to understand how that's hackable, because we're back to the point that we don't know, again, it's just another vulnerability in this whole system that they want to bring the poor into. When you see this one, you realize, well, if you have a driver's license at least there, it's going to be one of these, you're already connected, you're one of the poor. You don't even know it. You think it's just a driver's license. Do you think we're changing different, we're talking different here in the United States and real ID? This wasn't just about a national ID problem and the government, federal government shouldn't have it. This was the steps taken and going to be taken and being taken in order to implement the future that the government and the internationalists want, the financial interests of the world, which are still a covered, they're a change agent as well. They're not the end result. Police. And moving on again, more of this, what do you need this capacity for? These mega floppers. Again, just amazing what they can actually do. What you can get them to do. Pattern recognition is an interesting and powerful tool. Don't dismiss it because I'm saying, oh, it's no good. Or AI so-called. Pattern recognition, if you just change AI to pattern recognition, it's a powerful tool. It's, again, the problem. I don't trust those that are wielding the tool. It's pretty much that simple for me anymore. And I hope as I talk about this, you have a chance to go research some of this and find out whether you can trust it and whether that's enough to separate you from what they want to bring onto us. And you have a better word in your mouth about why you are not going to consent or that they don't have an authority. More importantly, no authority to insist that you consent. And why in one regard, another non-digital thing, but a tangible thing, why it's important to use, I hesitate to say this, but use cash. You know, there's money that's the coin, but the coin, the middle, the metal, the whatever, the silver and gold. So we can back off a little bit to the cash. It's still fiat, but it's that tangible interconnect with people that's not digital that is becoming more important than even that the dollar, if you will, the paper is fiat and not specie. I would say let's move over to the coin to metal. Let's get the states to order it up into being something valuable again and fulfill that obligation to the people, to themselves, and then we can go ahead and let this other system fall away because then you have the alternative. Remember, you have to build the alternative. It's not just that, oh, I'm free and I have a place that's free. No, you have to have, declare what that is that they can't encroach upon. That's what brings up the bee as a fish becomes a real potential problem that we have to consider. So litany of security flaws allows forgeries that are easy, quick, and cheap. But what if the trustee's doing that and you can't tell that? Or you don't have the capacity, you can't deal with. This is not something that you deal with, right? This is all invisible magic, these digits. And so what they're going to do is they need to have data, they need to pick it up, they need to develop the expertise. Here we have police want happy childhood pictures to train CSAMAI. Australia, again, federal police, where the people are imprisoned and don't really know. The prison was really just opened up to an open-air prison in Australia because it was a prison island. It really didn't change much, and we see that, but COVID didn't seem to shake anybody. Australia's federal police and Monash University are asking netizens, so they have that connection, to send in snaps of their younger selves to train a machine learning algorithm to spot child abuse in photographs. Now, how that actually all does it, I'll let you read to see. Oh, they say they don't want any nudity, even if it's an innocuous picture of a child taking a bath. Well, it'd be you. Why do they need all this? But they do. They're asking it. They think, again, save the children, women, children, and indigenous. That's the first thing they do. You see how they violate everybody. You watch how feminism was an attack on women. Women haven't figured this part out, actually. And then the men attack women. Well, why don't you get a job? It's just a tax. It's a tax trap. I don't even know what the heck people think they're doing while they destroy their families. Here, they want you to volunteer childhood pictures about yourself. You don't think that they have you now on your driver's license? Digitally, we just heard in Australia, that they don't have a flip-flopping computer now that can do this transformation from your young cradle to grave stuff in an instant almost? And you have done it in Australia. You're going to hand them these pictures. Oh, to save the children. Anyway, I don't know what more to say, but it's obvious that people will agree to this for some reason. Oh, they just want to help. People are so helpful. They won't help themselves out of their own trap, but they'll help. They'll believing that it's altruistic, they're going to help society. No, they're not. They're just building a prison for themselves and everybody else. And who runs all this? You see the police here. Well, if you understand that these states are somewhat of a corporate structure, when you realize your bar association is a private association that somehow back in the 50s was able to bring themselves in as a state agent, somehow independent, but a state agency as well. And then they take a hands off. We're not involved. We have no conflict of interest. If you don't understand how that public-private partnership was established and continues till today, and why we can kind of look at the states as corporations too. But don't forget about the body politic side and other things. There's three or four different statuses there. You find them in most constitutions or most ordinances for your counties. There's three jurisdictions you need to pay attention to. But beyond the police wanting all this happy childhood, with all they got the highfalutin computers now to synthesize, and they get your original, they get you to admit it's you, and they get to admit that it's you early on, and then they get to see what you now look like, and they can do their out. You've seen the transformation times, and they do that enough time, and the algorithm understands more, it refines itself on how to interpolate or extrapolate what you're going to look like or what you did look like. If you haven't noticed all the phenomenal-looking pictures that are being generated and being very, very difficult to tell, is that real or generated? And I'm having to really refine my rules. I'm getting difficult, more difficult. And I would have to say one of the rules I'm noticing, if my eyes are still going to be good enough to see it, is the subtle focus problem that a digital picture, created picture, has. It's so subtle, but it's not sharply focused. And when you get to the best cameras and you good optics, that seems to be one of the hanging problems for AI picture generation. But it's good enough to generate a picture interpolating between the time you were born or the early picture as a child to now the one they have for your license or whatever they have on file, to then extrapolate out as you grow older. For what? For people that they lose. They can start getting your database now. You can't really escape. They're going to track you down. And they may not be a man that does that, or a woman. It may be an AI bot. It may be a drone. Brave new world, folks. As who's going to implement that? Likely public-private partnerships. We see a story here. Left, the word left, is now political shorthand for corporate state technocracy. And you'll see that in the videos I've been putting on who's talking and what they're doing this and all this benefit they're bringing. And why are they going ahead and understanding how to interpret who you are and how you are. But it's going to be imposed by corporations, because there's been policies, at least in the United States, that the corporations can do things more efficiently. What they actually were doing was to take away your right to attack them. And they can do all kinds of things that are not relatively, well, they're not completely free, but they're a lot more free to do what they need to do that is not held to the government, to a government standard, and can be hidden underneath the rights of any other person. The left is now political shorthand for corporate state technocracy, written by Ben Barti, and he'll go through and explain how this thing is shifting on us. The left-right paradigm was always dubious as a way to describe the Western political dichotomy, given that modern leftism entails it's even more irrelevant now. As this is what I said earlier, what I've been saying. Forget about the Republican, conservative, all that. So forget about all that. You got to look at the reality again. Got to get real on who's actually the functioning arm here, not the computer, but the literal. Well, it can't be. The corporation doesn't have an arm, does it? Wow. And yet, look at the rights they have. You can't actually do an arm's length transaction with a corporation, can you? And so they have us all captured up in this language. To the point now, a bee is a fish. But going back to this article explains how this is occurring to us, what they're relating it to, where it's always going to be a divide. It's not even the urban-rural. That's a different one. It's more like the reality privileged people versus you. Is how they're going to treat it to your benefit. It puts all the power into the third-party corporation. And you see lots of things going and given to the corporations because they're not governments. Now, what also came up in this view that it's the corporations that are driving this forward, this non-governmental organization, if you please, is an interesting story that came up, but it, again, struck me a little different than, it's kind of like the Google researching what humor is. This hit me the same way. It took a little bit of a delay before it became important, and then put it in context of what I'm talking to today, was that the SEC mulls new rules for ESG funds. And this is what I was talking about, the what Tesla is not given, but the corporations are now, somehow this has become asset, securities exchange, securities. It's become securities, what the corporations do. And that was interesting insight in the public-private partnership. It's a secure, you're working in the securities, not as a financial instrument, but as what the function is. And so the SEC, the rulemaking regulator, is looking at corporations now and going to look at whether or not their environmental and social justice focused funds are applied at all, let alone properly. And make sure now that the corporations that are asking for funding and get their funding for those purposes actually execute underneath that standard. Because these funds are booming, there's lots of money going investing in, I guess people are investing in it. And this is a serious and dangerous thing. Lots of people investing in that, but not getting the small business people up, not get the poor people up from their own bootstraps. None of that. Because ESG has to go through digital connections. You have to go through some hardware to some service provider, through some regulatory body. Ultimately, this builds up to having a connection to either your trustee being the Fed. And it would be any monetary organization in your country. It's not just the United States. But the SEC is now proposing a broadening the scope of its NAMES rule, which enables the agencies to take action against mutual and exchange-traded funds with misleading names. So they're ostensibly going after fraud. The amendment would require funds that use ESG, environmental, social, and governance. Now you see, government can't do governance. As I was saying, it's about governance by third party, public-private partnership, ESG, environmental, social, and governance. This is a foreign agenda already inside the country, the United States. Or similar terminology, in their names, they need to put 80% of their holdings into those assets. Okay, that's a good thing. You want to have your money going to some places, like I told you a long time ago, save the whale. I found out it wasn't about saving the whale. They used that as a stalking horse to get funds, which they turned around and did all kinds of stuff. Greenpeace, those types, were then going about and do political things. The whales were a show. And so this is now being looked at to be more controlled. Well, I looked at that, and again, it took a moment to think about it. Again, this is the United States government's subsidy and control of corporations to impose environmental, social, and governance constraints when you find out these organizations go for federal funding. They go for leverage funding. And so the United States government is shown over and over and over to be your enemy where it's imposing a foreign agenda. This is climate change in action. It has nothing to do with the climate. It's the political change. And so we could read more. But it's interesting, the SEC has been coming up over and over, and I didn't have another story, I don't have the link for it, and I haven't quite been able to study it so long enough, but apparently their SEC, in a recent study has shown, or in a recent decision, has been declared that their hearings officers are not constitutional. We had a similar story before, but this is like a newer one, and I didn't have a chance to get at it, but interesting, the SEC is forming up a more of the news relative to the interaction of the digital world, that these, all this stuff is set up as an asset. Remember, when you go and read that, when you view that video where it says, how does your identity change? You become an asset. And so this starts to become more understandable. What didn't seem to be making sense starts to make a lot more sense, why the SEC is stepping up. And it starts to work just like, even though I'm having questions when I'm talking to you about it, I don't have questions. This is exactly rolling out the way I said it would have to. Why blockchain going into SEC jurisdiction was the wrong thing to see if we intended to watch an actually foreign, you know, private system and the exchanges. This is, but reading it through here and then attaching the asset part, it, relative to your future identity and what they're going to do with it using all them fast computers now, it's starting to make a lot more, it's confirmation, but a lot more sense on how it actually ties together. That why I even bring these things up. Again, I'm not trying to say, oh, look at all this information out here. I want to show you, look how it connects up, how it's working together, even though it's in disparate parts of our lives, and maybe not even in our lives. As we also watch internal to this, as the SEC is the administrative side of the government, executive administrative, and if you're in that subject matter, then you get treated through this rule set. Well, also, for those of you in it, they're going to expand the names thing. That means that there's impliedly a hearing for you to engage if you want to so do. But to do this is to promote a foreign agenda that the EPA has been doing for a long time of sustainability. The now the better qualifications for a corporation of which are how well you meet the environmental, social, and governance parameters that are imposed upon you to validate yourself to be the worthy corporation to insist and impose upon people, the poor, essentially. If you don't see the consistency with maiming people with driver's license and the poor and expanding to everything underneath, everybody's poor underneath the so-called elite, the hobnobbers of academia and policymakers, and that's all you below that, you're missing a big point about how this is already planned for you and working, how why it's working this way. That we see the players in the from the executive, and like they did COVID, right? Wrong. No one stopped it. Lots of execution goes on without really being within it. They then do the execution. It looks like they're doing stuff, but it's also, it's all to promote the end outcome, outcome-based. It's all working that way. That we see the lawmakers, the weaknesses, and we see likely the vulnerabilities, which an AI could certainly pick out. And I'm wondering whether or not these so-called leaders understand this, and that's why they're backing off. The title here, in private, vulnerable Senate Dems back off of tech bill. So we see that the corporate, why, how the corporations become powerful, the non-governmental organizations become powerful to do this, where you see likely compromised so-called leaders, Democrats, and they say it on the lead, on the as Democrats, Republicans too, folks, compromised leaders, once you're tied into this system or get tied into it by a foreign adversary because of what you do on the internet and in digital connection, they must know that they're sitting in vulnerability and they're backing off bills that would put controls on the private sector that would actually aid and help you, well, at some point. Yet in days in the private bill, vulnerable Senator Dems back off tech bill. Yet in the days since the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer told Klobuchar he would hold the floor vote as early as next month, several Democratic senators have privately expressed deep reservations about voting for legislation, particularly with a midterm election looming, in their conversations with Schumer and other Democratic officers. Tech lobbyists have claimed the bill would could harm popular products like Amazon Prime or Google Docs, and among vulnerable lawmakers, there's a growing concern that the sweeping legislation is too contentious for an election year and would eat up valuable time Democrats should instead spend addressing voters' core concerns, which they won't anyway. This is about, when you look at inside this, there's nothing, this is like too big to fail nonsense. Popular products like Amazon Prime and Google Docs is not popular to me. they could disappear and I could care less, folks. And if you don't have that attitude, that's what's going to continue this against us, and we're all going to suffer eventually. You're going to be forced into this. These people are probably compromised. They say it's for politics. I guess they're compromised that way too, aren't they? They're vulnerable. That may be true, but this is a bigger story here. This is where you watch now the people that are so-called leaders are not. They're compromised people, however they are. I can't even imagine this, the intelligence agencies, what's the information on that, and what AI can put together on their communications. What execution is sitting on top of them, on their head, at any time they go against somebody? We're just, the witness here, we're watching the destruction of the integrity and fidelity of a system we thought, well, I guess in the general, we thought was secure and protecting in itself. The law, we called it the rule of law. We thought that would work. We're watching how somebody, a foreigner, came in and took us apart and figured out all our weaknesses and are attacking all of that at once. And they did it before AI, so be careful on where we think AI actually goes. There's a bigger intelligence actually working. Didn't need AI. And so we go on. Compromise leaders, you might find that happening in California where you don't have, they can't get legislation for right to repair bill, can't repair your own stuff. And even in the bill, I'll get to that, even in the bill that did just pass, you can't go after certain things. So there's carve-outs. If you didn't think you're going to be discriminated against. So compromise the people, and we see then also being compromised, I think telegraphs this agency being involved in every nefarious thing we ever see as an aider and abettor, if not having their own people pull the triggers and such. The FBI director tells companies not to hack back against hackers. This is Comey, another criminal that's not in jail or at least facing charges and anything else that we thought, as we find out, maybe that can never ever happen the way things are on. But we go through and we can read all this issue. We see that he's not a very good guy in my eyes. I don't like the evidence I thought I would see against what he did or didn't do. Actually, his omissions are really more telling to me. He was talking about, the FBI director tells companies not to hack back. They have their own concern about interfering with the FBI's investigations if people were to, once their company is hacked, to have their hackers hack back would interfere with the FBI's investigation on those hackings. Actually, I know some of you already know the punchline here, talk about being a joke. That would actually, trying to inspire people, the companies, not to investigate where the hack came from because it was likely the government or the FBI itself. The FBI's investigation may be untoward. It may not be lawful. It may be about the company itself. They don't want people tracking back. They want to get people not to go back up the chain of digital connection to find them, is how I took this. I'm sure a lot of you people might too. The point is that it even came up was kind of an interesting condition. We got weak, useless, psychopathic, compromised representatives, so-called, and an executive branch whose agents can be compromised if you just start looking. And so they're out beating the drum relative to, well, don't keep looking. Nothing to see here. And likely they're going to get their way. Because why? Because the so-called representatives are compromised. And that's a warning shot from someone who's not even in office, if you understand the third-party influence here. Genghis Khan just spoke. We've got a horde. Are you going to continue? We're asking you not to. Can I have a little cream with that tea? Corporations, the leftists so-called, the technocrats pushing forward, getting private-public partnershiping with leverage funding. You pay for your own prison here. I hope you didn't miss that one. It's all part and parcel. You're paying for this. As we see the Bar Association and its courts, appeals court, Florida law on social media unconstitutional. A Florida law intended to punish social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter is an unconstitutional violation of the First Amendment. A federal appeals court ruled Monday, dealing a major victory to companies who had been accused of by GOP Governor Ron DeSantis of discriminating against conservative thought. There's so much to say. I'm going to leave it right there. So the three-judge panel out of the 11th U.S. Circuit unanimously concluded that it was overreached by DeSantis and the federal Republican-led Florida legislature to tell the social media companies how to conduct their work under the Constitution's free speech guarantee. Corporations are people, too. Corporations have First Amendment rights. The sovereignty of the state means nothing. When you watch now, what is that? What are these companies? These companies are the new legacy media that is the propaganda system. In fact, is that another thought? Is it true? I can't remember. I didn't go back and look. The Schmidt-Mundt. I got the feeling, an idea. Because of Schmidt-Mundt, I think you can say, because the government lawfully now says it can lie to me, I don't trust any of it. I don't trust connecting to any of it. I don't want to do any of it. That was a thought, just to pass that on. I didn't even qualify that. It just occurred to me to think, how are we going to counter this? They want to say trust, 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 trust. I'm going to become, their act of doing that, of giving that power to these companies, and then the Bar Association not curbing it under a protection for everybody, under how their free speech actually constrains our ability to be that free republic, means I can't trust it, and the federal law that allowed propaganda to me says I cannot trust a thing the government says now. And so, no, I don't consent. And to impose upon me is extortion, coercion, conversion, fraud, high crime, misdemeanor, whatever you want to call it. Anyways, I think if you look at Schmidt-Mundt, I think that's the one, that was the law. If it's not, there's a law that allowed the government to lie to you. That occurred to me in my sleep, the way I wake up and think. That I think we need to start to assert. When we see stuff like this, where the words, the propaganda tools of government, by the government, are allowed. And in some regard, well, and the problem about this case is no one's settling down to say, are they editors or not? If they're editors, that means everything you put on these social platforms is actually as if you're an employee of their company. If they're not if it's not the case, then they shouldn't have this power that the courts are extending to them. Like the courts extended the wrong determination without the proof that the coronavirus existed. Without the demonstration of a non-fraudulent agency, is the same power the courts are doing here for the tech sector, which is the public-private partnerships that are taking us down. And you'll see that when you look at the new identity and you look at the Google guy talking about reality privilege. He's making jokes about his contribution to that as well. I think it's a Google guy. Another state, an interesting court case decision, and it's kind of, I had to read this over a couple of times just so I could understand it. The application to vacate a stay presented to Justice Alito and by him referred to the court is granted. So there was a petition by a party that was sent directly to Justice Alito. And you got to understand, there's a provision to send it to the justice that actually the Constitution, I think, would say is a judge, supposed to be a judge. That's why these justices may not be lawful. But notwithstanding that, Justice Alito is in the district that he covers, the oversight of justice in that district. It was more of an administrative thing what they did, which I found fascinating, why I had to keep reading this. That application to vacate a stay against them was sent to a particular justice who then decided to refer it to the court. That application to remove the injunction was granted. So then we had to read more, though Alito and some others dissented. And that's what this order is discussing. I hope I said that correctly. That even though Justice Alito referred this to the court, it was granted, even though Justice Alito dissented. It was kind of an interesting dynamic. It was also interesting, it wasn't filed, let's say, like a certiorari, I suppose. And this is another provision for that. The May 11, 2022 order of the United States Court of Appeals of the Fifth Circuit staying the district court's preliminary injunction is vacated. What this was the challenge to Texas doing the same thing where the argument by the state was, we have sovereignty, we can dictate what the limit of what these corporations, these social media can do. The court put a stay on that. That was status quo. I think this is how this works. And the people, the corporations went to Alito, then the Supreme Court, which said, no, we're going to remove that. The status quo, in my reinterpretation of what I think I see here, the status quo is, despite Texas sovereignty, that at this point, the precedent is that the social media companies are protected. And so, very interesting, the Bar Association, they both are continuing to say that these social media companies have a position that can't be attacked. When you see what the Google does with relative to giving you benefits by reality privilege, something that you didn't get, that they're going to give you by digital connection, you start to see a more sinister condition developing when there may be no constraints. And so then I say again, the answer to this is to don't engage it. Disconnect. And if someone has a better answer to this, I'd like to hear it. I just don't know. I don't get out, and I'm not the all-knowing, so I may miss something. But two orders in courts across the country saying the status quo is that these social media accounts can claim to be editors, win the right to free speech, and yet your position relative to that is not. And not looking at the fraud that was presented. So this is going to, again, to me, this is just the way the Bar Association finagles things so that they end up promoting the ability and providing the ability for these third-party corporations to be the technocrats that they're got set up and rolling forward and the technology behind it. Notwithstanding all that, and one way to get it cut off, a cell tower turned off by court after farmer complained that its radiation was damaging his cows. Now, I found this pretty interesting. Decades of research has determined the exposure of radiation from cell towers and other wireless radiation emitting sources is biologically and environmentally harmful. In fact, there have been some government agencies that actually warn residents about the exposure risk. You can read this. The gentleman steps up for his cows and says it's damaging. He wins. Those of you interested in this one might want to look through this case. What I found out is that it wasn't good enough that it was damaging him, the human animal he is. So we got to turn off the signal. This was one way to get that signal cut off. I don't know what they're going to do about it, but there we go. That's the starting of something. And you start to show, again, when you have administrative comment, you start to show within the confines of that review, they did or did not do the types of studies that they needed. You start having to build in, contrary to the government, subsidy that wants to go into 5G or any communication and data streams for these computers to run AI and become the technocratic experts in your life, supporting the trust relationship to the Fed directly or whatever monetary system you have in your country, that you cut the lines of communication, right? Okay, so some of you might be able to work on that. I don't know. I found that interesting. He did get it cut off. I don't know exactly how that all worked. You need to go find out his facts. You need to have those. They're recognized in one court, but it wasn't against him. Like, he doesn't matter. The man doesn't matter anymore, if you see that. The animals do. You hurt the animal, watch out. Now, there was an underlying right for him to do that with the cows, so that's an important thing that was recognized. So that was one way to fix the problem. Another way to fix the problem is to have the right to fix. This, now we're getting to the right to repair law that just went through. You actually have to have a law. Like I told you, you're going to have the legislature now declare what your rights are, what your normal life was, and it was livable. The New York lawmakers approved first right to repair law. The first one, folks. Right to repair advocates are applauding the passage of New York's Digital Fair Repair Act, which state assembly members approved Friday in a 145-1 vote. And they also talk about the California one that died because of industry lobbying. I can't remember his name. He's a gentleman who did the right to repair guy. He's pretty popular on the internet. I think it's Rossman, his last name. He's been doing his own lobbying, apparently effectively in New York, because I think that's where he's at. But what I found interesting, and then I got to thinking about this a little bit, this doesn't extend to everything electronic, just certain things. Then I started to wonder again, not to dismiss what Mr. Rossman has done, it's important, but who lobbied to get their part not underneath the law that requires disclosure of schematics or rule maintenance procedures or parts or making them available? How did that happen where some were cut out? There's a discrimination inside this. And they said this is very consistent with the one in California, that the New York's Digital Fair Repair Act does not cover every electronic device. It excludes motor vehicles. But listen to the 5G connection to the government subsidy on autonomous vehicles being not part of this. This is an anticipation. The state understands its position. It's not sovereign. It's already capitulated too. The federal government sold you out and the state sold you out. It excludes motor vehicles and motor vehicle equipment addressed via a national agreement between automakers and repair shops, media, medical devices, home appliances, public safety equipment, and off-road equipment, e.g. farm machinery. All the stories I've been getting is because the farmers are getting angry because they can't get their machinery done because it breaks in the field and John Deere has the control. But right here in New York, all the most important things in your life are not able to be addressed by you. Medical devices, Rona, home appliances, all the things in your house that are reporting on you. This is fascinating to me that they would allow it. It's like a hollow victory in a way. I guess good for Rossman, and since he repairs Apple, and that's his big problem. But if that's all it is, to me, this is a hollow victory relative to the right to repair. We got to be cognizant of these things. Take what we can get, but understand the limitations and understand how things are manipulated. It's kind of in the same vein it occurs to me when I told you, watch out, this medical marijuana legislation looks like corporations have stepped in, lobbyists have stepped in, and there's a future profit to be made by them. And this is built into the law before we all get here, and it's going to be a mess until everybody down, initially the small folk, eat themselves up and get tore out before the corporations step back in and do it the way it was supposed to be done. As I was reading to you, the exceptions would indicate there's limitations on local small production, and it was tailored to bigger production. And in a way, what they were saying you could do was could be defined, it wasn't at all what the right to grow or the right to use, whatever. It was just another way to say that a bee was a fish. As we find, Chicago High School to implement race-based grading system to equalize test scores among racial groups. Well, that seems discriminatory based on this. And you also see that's AI, that's digital, that'll happen automatically to equalize test scores among racial groups. I don't know why they're going to do that. Like in Oregon, you don't have to read, write, or arithmetic anymore. You don't have to be cognizant in your world and what the government's feeding you in writing. Apparently, it's going to come to you through Neuralink, I suppose. You don't have to. But at any rate, so race-based. As I said, the dictionary Doubleday in 1974 says the race of lawyers under the word race. So it's not about color. And if you keep locked into that, you're going to mess yourself up. It's whatever group they can isolate and identify will get an equalization treatment. And if you don't think that's not cancel culture looking in your future for your little one who just doesn't want to, who wants to be homeschooled or just doesn't want to take the pill, whatever pill they want to keep giving, I say just get out of all the colored pills. You are missing something here. This is a serious affront. They're going to use AI to run it. Race has nothing to do with color. It has to do with cancel culture, whether or not you fit into the new, what the AI says is the new cultural group that needs to be supported and who's underserved. As you heard, the poor folk of the going to get the internet and subsidized by the government to pay, to enslave people, you taxpayers. You realize that's what's happening, right? You taxpayers. You don't even know what that is, I guess, for the most part. You think you do. But so here we have it. Chicago schools, high school, to implement race-based grading system to equalize test scores among racial groups. Got to kick me back into my school as soon as it was like affirmative action. I was doing great in high school, did real good, excellent, and honors and all that stuff. When it came to me going to college, there was not a college that was available to me because it was prefaced on affirmative action. I couldn't get tanned enough, folks, I guess. And so I worked harder. I tried to figure I'd grab 2-3 jobs. After a while, I tried to get the money to go to college. It was like complete college. I said, I can't work and go to school. I'm not that good. And so I see the same thing. I see you can be kicked out of the promise, if you will, the privilege, just by having a policy come down. And we now see it's going to go to digital. You won't even know this stuff. You're going to be tailored as you go through cradle to grave, just like they've been telling us. AI will be figured it all out for you. And so I'm not sure what this next story actually attaches to. If they're going to have Neuralink, they're just going to sit in your chair as a kid and they're going to download everything to you. But in the interim, U.S. schools installing airport-style body scanners for weapons detection despite radiation exposure risks. And this is that risk assessment. They're willing to radiate your little ones in order to do this fabricated, this self-inflicted wound regarding weapons. And then they actually point out that when they do that, they found weapons. So just to show you, I'll drive home that point. But concerns about radiation exposure for airport body scanners have been ongoing for over a decade from the Environmental Health Trust webpage, which I'll give you a link. And they'll go ahead and talk about it. We'll see what I tell you about that. Farmer didn't say he was getting irradiated. No, the court stopped it because the cows were getting irradiated. Those carbon polluters, those things, even had more rights. But they don't care about radiation on your kids either. And so they're willing to do all this. And this is risk assessment based on some risk benefit thing relative to the assets that they have in your little ones. And I also believe, you say weapons detection, you don't realize that that scanner is a weapon. It may be a binary weapon part or a trinary weapon part. I've talked to you about this over and over again. They get something in you, and then they get to irradiate it and start it up. That was out of the experiments out of the 40s. We weren't told till 76 that it was actually a thing. We talked about it here behind the woodshed. It also happened back in 2013 again. Something else, I can't remember now. Memory hole stuff. We see that they're not bashful to irradiate. It's a risk, okay, taken to irradiate your little ones for weapons instead of solving the problem. The mental health problem, essentially, that covers under gun rights problem, confiscation, and other things, false front, spaghetti western things, and stalking horses, and the people don't do what they need to do to stop the nonsense. We also understand that this radiation addresses your genes. No, not the ones you wear, your biological genes. A gene editing experiment increased aggression in hamsters. Scientists at Northwestern University used controversial CRISPR technology to remove hormone vasopressin and its receptors AVPR1A from a group of critters with this expectation that increases cooperation between critters, according to the study. The hypothesis was wrong. Expert, we were really surprised at the results. Okay, so I've said you get these injections, they do stuff to your genes, you get irradiated, they do some severage in they sever your genes like CRISPR might do in your genes, and now your kids get aggressive. And then the cops come in. Or they do that to all these people that got injected, and you walk through through some radiation field of any nature, maybe your cell phone, and you start getting aggressive. I told you this could be a possibility. We don't know what this stuff would do. Oh, it goes into your mind, and it starts messing with your mind, and you get, they call it dementia, or you're just acting out. That was done by a jab. We don't know. That was a part of a binary weapon, maybe. You inject it, you go through a field. This is all the 1940s technology. But we do some CRISPR, the consequence is aggression. I don't know why that's not outlawed, but they're not. What about HEPA? Boy, I wonder how aggressive plants are starting to get. And that subtle nature that we don't understand and we want to violate because Monsanto thinks it's more important and has a better plan for everything. These criminals. I just want to connect these together. Potentially, we don't know. This test is that hamsters, when you do CRISPR, there is a collateral consequence, and it doesn't go in the good direction, which I would hope that we could see, but it never seems to go that way, and these people exploit this stuff. Privacy search engine DuckDuckGo smoked over high hidden tracking agreement as we move into a different point, the privacy nature. It's not private, even DuckDuckGo. They have an agreement with Microsoft for certain things. And again, I don't know where you go. I might be moving over to Quant. I don't know. The point is we're troubled by these internet connections. It's like nothing's private, nothing can be responded to, nothing can be relied upon for any time. Nothing can be trusted is the point here. And maybe that's what, trusted, and you need to tell the government that, and you need to, I think, find, like I said, the one law that they made it so you can't trust them. As we move into really quickly, the third-party trackers moving into now your food really quickly, the massive fire breaks out at the poultry farm that supplies eggs to major supermarkets. Big fire, another place going down. You hear about it on and on. This is in a poultry farm in Howard Lake, Minnesota. The supplies of the nation's largest supermarkets with 3 million eggs per day experienced a devastating fire. 3 million eggs per day. How many chickens? Tens of thousands of chickens were killed, up to a couple hundreds of thousands. I would have to guess if you see some of the flames. So the germ of the chicken is destroyed. The food supply means that you've been interfered with on another surprise fire. We don't know why all of a sudden now. And then we also see the attack on people, the human animal that they is, attack on their eggs. Shocking Pfizer document reveals 82% of the vaccinated pregnant women suffered miscarriage. For those folks there, I'm sorry to hear this for you. Again, I don't know what to say. I'm shaking my head. The behind the woodshed, I was warning you, it was right in the documentation this would happen. I guess it's a fact now. Recently released confidential documents reveals that a startling majority of utero babies died after pregnant women were rejected with the Pfizer vaccine. Okay, they studied the Pfizer, peas are silent. Parma, can't be the other injections are any better. But at any rate, they're attacking our eggs, folks, I suppose. Is the theme going on here, as now we don't have to worry about eggs, given that Ukrainian military showcases unicorn LGBTO badge after dropping Azov's neo-Nazi insignia, going back to Jarvis and talking about how women have a womb. And there's the egg, and they're being killed, and then we're going to pick on these issues where we're never going to be able to grow in population anymore, because that's how the new world wants us, and they want to change their image. We're going to unicorns for the neo-Nazis so that they hide and they keep moving the ball, the posts, and never our recognition or our perception as we keep moving over into that. Based in Biden's visit to Saudi Arabia exposes the Ukraine narrative for the sham that it is, a discussion by Katie Johnstone. That explains the disrespect going on here as well, and Biden really, really borking it bad relative to the policies and how they don't think things through as we move into. And I have another thing from John Whitehead and Nisha Whitehead. America, meet your new dictator in chief, the president's secret unchecked powers. Now we're back to that police power, how they're moving this thing through, what I've been telling you to attack, how you're going to attack it, as best, look for those core things that they don't do. This is the stuff we've heard up for a long time. Those of us that are researching at the COG, the government that comes in when there's an emergency. And then I've asked you to make sure that you challenge what that emergency is and find the non-fraudulent exigency for it. As we now move back in quickly here, China elected to the World Health Organization Executive Board with no objections. Reminding you also, retrovirus for vaccines can be triggered by glyphosate pesticides written back a few years ago, the binary weapon. Based on all this thing I was talking to you about, and Catherine Austin Fitz that says, this is the end of Western liberty, and she advocates getting active, and she has letters that you can go to her, solari.com, get some evidence, get some examples to help yourself, folks. She's with it, with us, and I think we need to be with ourselves and together. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope something I said gives us some insight and maybe some motivation to get action and start defending yourself. Be responsible to that, and I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs. For nature willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, This is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.